The second story from Furious Seasons in this section is the title story, which appeared in no other book in Carver's lifetime. An early version entitled The Furious Seasons was written for John Gardner's creative writing class at Chico State College in 1959 and was Carver's first published work of fiction when it appeared in the winter 1960-61 issue of Selection, the literary magazine that he and fellow student Nancy Park founded at Chico State in 1960. A revision of the story, with the title shortened to Furious Seasons, was published in the fall 1963 issue of December. The version in December is the basis of the text in Furious Seasons, which is printed here. What we talk about when we talk about love. Carver's third story collection, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love, was published in hardcover by Alfred A. Knopf on April 20, 1981, and in London by Collins in January 1982. All 17 of the stories in What We Talk About When We Talk About Love had appeared in periodicals between 1967 and 1981. Several had been published in more than one version, some under alternate titles. Five had been collected, albeit in different forms, in Furious Seasons. In the years since the publication of Will You Please Be Quiet, Please?, Carver had stopped drinking and begun his association with fellow writer Tess Gallagher. After surviving the alcoholism that had incapacitated him during the mid-1970s, he began writing new stories in the summer of 1977. During the same period, Gordon Lish had left Esquire and become a fiction editor at the publishing house of Alfred A. Knopf. Carver and Lish had corresponded, and in early May 1980, they met in New York City. At the meeting, Carver delivered to Lish a book-length manuscript of new and revised stories for possible publication by Knopf. How the manuscript of those stories came to be published in significantly altered form as What We Talk About When We Talk About Love is detailed below in the note on the text of Beginners, the manuscript version of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. As explained there, Lish more than halved the length of Carver's manuscript and radically altered many of the stories. Carver had initially been deeply distressed by Lish's aggressive editing, going so far as to request in a letter of July 8, 1980, that Knopf halt production of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. Lish had assured him that the cuts were for the good, and Carver had acquiesced, as in the past, to his editor's judgment. But soon after the publication of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love in April 1981, Carver restored several stories to their original forms in Fires, Cathedral, and the limited edition book If It Please You, Northridge, California, Lord John Press, 1984. This volume prints the text of the 1981 Knopf edition of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. The note on Beginners below gives a complete history of the stories included in the collection. From Fires, Essays, Poems, Stories. The first edition of Fires, Essays, Poems, Stories was published by Capra Press on April 14, 1983. In addition to a trade edition, 250 copies, each supplemented with a numbered limitation leaf, signed by Carver, were printed. The first edition of Fires included two essays, 50 poems, 7 short stories, and an afterword by the author. Later American and British versions of Fires, published by Vintage Books, 1984, Harville, 1985, and Vintage Contemporaries, 1989, altered the table of contents by adding, and subsequently deleting, an interview, increasing the number of essays, and omitting the afterword. In all editions of Fires, the stories appear in the following sequence: Distance, The Lie, The Cabin, Harry's Death, The Pheasant, Where Is Everyone, So Much Water So Close to Home. Three stories in Fires are restorations of stories edited, shortened, and in two cases retitled by Gordon Lish for publication in What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. The versions of Distance, Where Is Everyone, and So Much Water So Close to Home in Fires are not included here. The texts of these stories, as Carver submitted them to Lish in the spring of 1980, are printed in Beginners, the manuscript version of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. The notes on Beginners below give the publication history of these stories, as well as an account of their editing by Lish and their subsequent restoration by Carver in Fires. The texts of the four other stories in Fires, The Lie, The Cabin, Harry's Death, and The Pheasant, are printed in this section of the Capra Press edition. The Lie was first published in the winter 1971 issue of Sou'wester Literary Quarterly and was collected in Furious Seasons. Carver later revised The Lie and published the revision in the November-December 1982 issue of American Poetry Review. That version was collected in Fires and is printed here. The Cabin, Carver's extensive revision of his early story, Pastoral, was first published in the winter 1963 issue of Western Humanities Review as Pastoral, and was collected in Furious Seasons in 1977. Because differences between Pastoral and The Cabin cast light on developments in Carver's writing over two decades, both Pastoral and The Cabin are included in this volume. The two remaining stories in this section, Harry's Death and The Pheasant, made their sole collected appearances in Fires and are printed from that book. Harry's Death was originally published in the winter 1975-76 issue of Eureka Review. The Pheasant made its first appearance in Occident in 1973. Carver later revised The Pheasant and published the revision in the autumn-winter 1982 issue of New England Review, Breadloaf Quarterly. That same year, a signed limited edition, The Pheasant, was published by Metacom Press. The 1982 Fires version of The Pheasant is printed here. Cathedral. The first edition of Carver's short story collection, Cathedral, was published in hardcover by Alfred A. Knopf in New York on September 15, 1983, and in London by Collins on January 30, 1984. In September 1984, a softcover version of Cathedral was published as one of the first volumes in the Vintage Contemporaries trade paperback series, launched by Random House editor Gary Fiskitchen. Of Cathedral's 12 stories, all but A Small Good Thing had been written during 1981 to 1982 and published in periodicals. A Small Good Thing was the restoration and revision of a story that Carver had completed in 1980, but had not at that time submitted to a periodical. Instead, he had included A Small Good Thing in the manuscript of stories he gave to Gordon Lish in May 1980 for possible publication in book form by Knopf, which after being edited by Lish was published in April 1981 as What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. A detailed account of the editing is given below in the discussion of Beginners, the manuscript version of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. A Small Good Thing was the newest and longest story Carver had submitted to Lish in 1980. The original typescript, preserved in the Lilly Library of Indiana University, runs to 37 double-spaced pages. Over the course of two rounds of line editing, Lish shortened A Small Good Thing from 11,000 words to fewer than 2,500, the largest cut to any story in the manuscript. Lish also changed the title to The Bath, the title under which a version of the story, as edited by Lish, appeared in the spring-summer 1981 issue of Columbia, which awarded it the journal's annual Carlos Fuentes Fiction Award. Several writers who had read some of Carver's stories in manuscript before Lish edited them for What We Talk About When We Talk About Love, including A Small Good Thing, were not convinced that Lish's changes were improvements. One of these readers was the poet, essayist, and anthologist Donald Hall, who was scheduled to edit an issue of the journal Plowshares devoted to short fiction in 1982. Hall requested and received Carver's permission to publish in Plowshares a fuller version of A Small Good Thing, which Carver revised somewhat from the 1980 manuscript version. The Plowshares text of the story was awarded first prize in the annual O. Henry Awards anthology Prize Stories, 1983. Although The Bath had been published in Carver's previous Knopf book only 2 years earlier, he insisted that a full-length version of A Small Good Thing be included in Cathedral. He made a few more changes to the Plowshares text for Cathedral. With A Small Good Thing, as with all the stories in the new book, Carver made it clear that no editorial alterations could be made without his consent. In a letter of August 11, 1982, he informed Lish that the stories in Cathedral would not be uniform in style or size. But Gordon, God's truth, and I may as well say it out now, I can't undergo the kind of surgical amputation and transplant that might make them some way fit into the carton so the lid will close. There may have to be limbs and heads of hair sticking out. My heart won't take it otherwise. It will simply burst, and I mean that. Aware of Lish's distaste for some of the stories in the new book, in particular, A Small Good Thing, Carver recognized that this collection would challenge expectations about what a Carver short story ought to be. Yours, mine, the reading public at large, the critics. But I'm not them, he added. I'm not us, I'm me. He was emphatic that the stories in Cathedral would be fuller than the ones in the earlier books. He acknowledged that his work would benefit from copy editing. This time, however, he would scrutinize every proposed change. Gordon, the last book passed as if in a dream for me. This one can't go that way, and we both know it. Carver's trust in Lish had been eroded by the peremptory editing of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. On October 3, 1982, as he prepared to submit the completed manuscript of Cathedral, he minced no words about control. You know I want and have to have autonomy on this book, and that the stories have to come out looking very essentially the way they look right now. In a letter of October 29, he underscored the point. My biggest concern, as you know, is that the stories remain intact. As late as February 23, 1983, when he asked to see the galley proofs of Cathedral, he repeated the caution. I don't need to tell you that it's critical for me that there not be any messing around with titles or text. In the end, Carver accepted only minor corrections from Lish. This volume prints the text of the 1983 Knopf edition of Cathedral. The stories in Cathedral made their first appearances in American and British periodicals as follows. Feathers, The Atlantic, September 1982. Chef's House, The New Yorker, November 30, 1981. Preservation, Grand Street, Spring 1983. The Compartment, Antioch Review, Spring 1983. And Granta, London, 1983. A Small Good Thing, Plowshares, 1982. Vitamins, Esquire, October 1981. And Granta, London, 1981. Careful, The Paris Review, Summer 1983. Where I'm Calling From, The New Yorker, March 15, 1982. The Train, Antias, Spring, Summer, 1983. Fever, North American Review, June 1983. The Bridal, The New Yorker, July 19, 1982. Cathedral, The Atlantic, September 1981, and The London Magazine, February, March 1984. New stories from Where I'm Calling From. Where I'm Calling From, New and Selected Stories, was published by Atlantic Monthly Press in May 1988. Founded in 1917 as an affiliate of the Boston-based Atlantic Monthly Magazine, the press had been sold in 1986. Its editorial director was Gary Fiskitian, who had previously overseen Carver's books as published by Random House and reprinted by its Vintage Books division. Among the first projects contracted under his directorship was what would be Carver's longest book to date, a 400-page volume of new and selected stories. Publication of Where I'm Calling From coincided with Carver's 50th birthday on May 25, 1988. To mark the occasion, Atlantic Monthly Press published Where I'm Calling From in both trade and limited editions. A privately printed first edition was also published by the Franklin Library for members of its signed first edition society. An undisclosed number of copies were bound in stamped leather with marbled end papers and page edges gilt. Each included a leaf signed by Carver, a specially commissioned illustration by Steve Johnson, and a special message for the first edition by the author. This 1,000-word essay appeared in no other edition of Where I'm Calling From published in Carver's lifetime. Under the title, Introduction to Where I'm Calling From, it is included among the selected essays in this volume. The New Stories section of Where I'm Calling From consisted of 7 stories written during 1985 to 86 and published in periodicals during 1986 to 87. All made their first appearances in book form in Where I'm Calling From. In England, these stories were collected in a separate volume entitled Elephant and Other Stories, published in hardcover by Collins Harville in London on August 4, 1988, 2 days after Carver's death. Following is a list of the first American and British periodical appearances of the 7 previously uncollected stories in Where I'm Calling From and Elephant. Boxes, The New Yorker, February 24, 1986. Whoever Was Using This Bed, The New Yorker, April 28, 1986. Intimacy, Esquire, August 1986. Menudo, Granta, London, Spring 1987. Elephant, The New Yorker, June 9, 1986. And Fiction Magazine, London, October 1986. Blackbird Pie, The New Yorker, July 7, 1986. Errand, The New Yorker, June 1, 1987. 2 of the stories were also separately published as limited editions, Intimacy by William B. Ewart, 1987, and Elephant by Jungle Garden Press, 1988. The texts printed in the present volume of the New Stories from Where I'm Calling From are taken from the 1988 Atlantic Monthly Press edition. The Selected Stories section of Where I'm Calling From was made up of 30 stories chosen by Carver in consultation with Tess Gallagher and Gary Fiskitchen from his earlier trade press books. 12 came from Will You Please Be Quiet Please, McGraw-Hill, 1976. 8 came from What We Talk About When We Talk About Love, Knopf, 1981. 2 came from Fires, Capra Press, 1983, Vintage Books, 1984. And 8 came from Cathedral, Knopf, 1983. An editor's note, prefaced to Where I'm Calling From, stated, "The stories in this collection are arranged, generally, in chronological order. A number of them have been revised for this edition, and in a few cases titles have been changed." The order followed the story's chronological appearance in collections rather than the dates of their composition or first appearances in periodicals. The revisions in Where I'm Calling From were principally changes of names previously assigned to various characters, Jack to Carl and vice versa, Carl to Dick or Earl, Jack to Bill. In addition, some corruptions were introduced into the text, including typographical errors and the rendering of dialect and colloquialisms into standard English. The titles of 2 stories that appeared in earlier books were changed in Where I'm Calling From. First, the story that Lish had edited and titled What Is It? For publication in Esquire and in Will You Please Be Quiet Please was renamed Are These Actual Miles? In What It Used to Be Like, A Portrait of My Marriage to Raymond Carver, St. Martin's Press, 2006, Marianne Burke Carver reported that Are These Actual Miles was the original title under which Carver had submitted the story to Lish. Second, the story that Lish had edited and titled Popular Mechanics for inclusion in What We Talk About When We Talk About Love was renamed Little Things. Under that title, Carver had previously published the story in Fiction in 1978. None of the selected stories, as printed in Where I'm Calling From, is included in this volume. Instead, the texts of these stories are taken either from the books in which they were first collected or from Beginners, the manuscript version of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. In Where I'm Calling From, the 30 selected stories appear in the following sequence. Nobody Said Anything, Bicycles, Muscles, Cigarettes, The Student's Wife, They're Not Your Husband, What Do You Do in San Francisco, Fat, What's in Alaska, Neighbors, Put Yourself in My Shoes, Collectors, Why Honey, Are These Actual Miles, What Is It in Will You Please Be Quiet Please, Gazebo, One More Thing, Little Things, Popular Mechanics in What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. Why Don't You Dance? A Serious Talk. What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. Distance. The Third Thing That Killed My Father Off. So Much Water So Close to Home. The Calm. Vitamins. Careful. Where I'm Calling From. Chef's House. Fever. Feathers. Cathedral. A Small Good Thing. Other Fiction. This volume includes, in a section entitled Other Fiction, 9 short stories and a fictional fragment. 4 early stories and the fragment from the Augustine Notebooks were published in periodicals during Carver's lifetime. 5 unpublished stories were found in manuscript a decade after his death and appeared in American and British periodicals during 1999 to 2000. All 10 other stories were included in Call If You Need Me, a posthumous collection of Carver's writings edited by William L. Stull. The British edition, Call If You Need Me, The Uncollected Fiction and Prose, was published in hardcover by Harville Press in 2000. An American softcover publication, Call If You Need Me, The Uncollected Fiction and Other Prose, identical to the British edition except for its title, title page, and copyright notice, was published by Random House under its Vintage Contemporaries imprint in 2001. The text of The Hair, written for a creative writing class taught by Richard Cortez Day at Chico College in the early 1960s, is printed from its first periodical appearance in the spring 1963 issue of the Chico State literary magazine, Toyon. That issue was edited by Carver and included 4 works by him. 2 of these, the stories The Hair and Poseidon and Company, appeared under his own name. 2 others, the poem Spring 480 BC and the story The Aficionados, appeared under the pseudonym John Vale. Carver subsequently published a revision of The Hair in the January 7-20, 1972 issue of the Santa Cruz, California alternative newspaper Sundays. The later version is not included in this volume. It can be read in Those Days, Early Writings by Raymond Carver, a limited edition book edited by William L. Stull and published by Raven Editions in Elmwood, Connecticut in 1987. Carver contributed a preface to Those Days, in which he reassessed The Hair and other early works he had not read in many years. Not bad considering, was his opinion of them. The thing is, if a writer is still alive and well, and he's always well if he's still writing, and can look back from a great distance to a few early efforts and not have to feel too abashed or discomfited or even ashamed of what he finds he was doing then I say good for him. And good, too, whatever it was that pushed him along and kept him going. The rewards being what they are in this business, few enough and far between, he ought perhaps even be forgiven if he takes some little satisfaction in what he sees. A continuity in the work, which is, of course, to say, a continuity in the life. The second early story, The Aficionados, a satire on Hemingway's tales about doomed bullfighters, is printed from its sole appearance in Carver's lifetime. Carver published The Aficionados under his pseudonym John Vale in the spring 1963 issue of Toyon. That issue is also the source for the text printed here of the story Poseidon and Company, which Carver published in Toyon under his own name. A slightly different text of Poseidon and Company appeared in the spring 1964 issue of Ball State Teachers College Forum. The 1964 revision of Poseidon and Company is excluded from this volume in favor of the first published version of the story. The last of Carver's early stories, Bright Red Apples, appeared once in his lifetime. It was published in the spring-summer 1967 issue of Gatto magazine, and the text printed here is taken from that periodical. Only one source exists for the fragment of Carver's uncompleted novel. From the Augustine Notebooks, appeared in the summer 1979 issue of Iowa Review, and is printed from that source. In the spring of 1977, while living in McKinleyville, California, and struggling to quit drinking, Carver had accepted an advance on an unwritten novel from McGraw-Hill, the publisher of his 1976 story collection, Will You Please Be Quiet, Please? In an interview in the Times Standard of Eureka, California, on July 24, 1977, he described the planned book as an African Queen sort of thing, set in German East Africa after World War I. 5 years later, he admitted he had stopped working on the novel after 2 weeks. I just lost interest in it, he told Jim Spencer of the Norfolk Virginian Pilot in an interview published on October 1, 1982. I may write a novel someday, but I have no pressure on me because I'm successful as a short story writer. This section of Other Fiction ends with five stories not published in Carver's lifetime. Files relating to Kindling, Vandals, and Dreams were found in March 1999 by Tess Gallagher and Jay Woodruff, then a senior editor at Esquire, in Carver's writing desk at Ridge House in Port Angeles, Washington. Gallagher and Woodruff transcribed the three stories from typescripts and handwritten drafts. They were then published in Esquire as follows: Kindling, July 1999, Vandals, October 1999, and Dreams, July 2000. On July 15, 1999, two more unpublished stories were found by William L. Stull and Maureen P. Carroll among the Raymond Carver papers housed in the William Charvet Collection of American Fiction at the Ohio State University Library. What Would You Like to See and Call If You Need Me are each preserved in a single ribbon typescript marked with Carver's holograph corrections. These two stories made their first appearances in British periodicals. Call If You Need Me was published in the winter 1999 issue of Granta, and What Would You Like to See appeared in the Guardian Weekend on June 24, 2000. The texts of the five unpublished stories are printed from Call If You Need Me, 2000, where they made their first appearance in book form. Selected Essays. This volume includes, under the heading Selected Essays, four pieces of Carver's expository writing. The first of these, My Father's Life, was originally published in the September 1984 issue of Esquire and is printed from that source. The essay appeared under the title, Where He Was, Memories of My Father, in the winter 1984 issue of Granta, with variants made in accordance with British and house-style conventions. It was included as My Father's Life in the first British edition of Fires, which was published in London by Collins Harville on April 15, 1985. In 1986, My Father's Life was separately published by Babcock & Kuntz of Derry, New Hampshire, and Ridgewood, New Jersey, in a signed, limited edition of 240 copies. The second and third essays, On Writing and Fires, are printed from the 1983 Capra Press edition of Fires. On Writing made its first appearance as A Storyteller's Shop Talk in the New York Times Book Review on February 15, 1981. As submitted, the essay was untitled, and the title in the book review was applied by an editor. In preparing the essay for inclusion in Fires, Carver titled it On Writing. The essay Fires was first published in the autumn 1982 issue of Antaeus. It appeared in slightly different form in the fall 1982 issue of Syracuse Scholar. Carver had written Fires at the request of editors Ted Solotaroff and Stephen Berg for inclusion in the Harper & Row anthology In Praise of What Persists, and it appeared in that book in 1983. The fourth essay, Introduction to Where I'm Calling From, originally appeared as A Special Message for the First Edition, prefaced to the signed limited edition of Where I'm Calling From, New and Selected Stories, published by the Franklin Library in 1988. For descriptive purposes, the essay was editorially renamed On Where I'm Calling From when it was posthumously included among Carver's uncollected writings in No Heroics, Please, 1991, and Call If You Need Me, 2000. This volume prints the essay from the Franklin Library edition under the title Author's Note to Where I'm Calling From. Beginners. The manuscript version of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. Beginners is the manuscript version of the 17 stories that were published in book form as What We Talk About When We Talk About Love by Alfred A. Knopf on April 20, 1981. The manuscript, which Carver's editor Gordon Lish shortened to less than half its original length in two rounds of close line editing, is preserved in the Lilly Library of Indiana University. The editors of this volume have restored the stories to their original forms by transcribing Carver's typewritten words that lie beneath Lish's alterations in ink on the typescripts. For ease of comparison, and because Carver's manuscript included no title page or table of contents, the stories in this section are arranged in the same sequence as in What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. The title, Beginners, has been provided by the editors because the story Beginners corresponds to the title story of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. Lish was a literary mainstay during Carver's alcoholic years of the 1970s. He published Carver's fiction in Esquire, recommended him to editors and agents in New York City, and made possible the publication of his first collection of stories, Will You Please Be Quiet, Please, in 1976. In the years that followed, Carver's life changed. On June 2, 1977, he stopped drinking. In 1978, his first marriage ended in separation. Divorce would follow in 1982. And in 1979, he began living with the writer Tess Gallagher. After years of temporary jobs and unemployment, he was appointed senior professor of English at Syracuse University, where he began teaching in January 1980. During these same years, Lish left Esquire and joined the publishing firm of Alfred A. Knopf. The two men kept in contact by letter and discussed the possibility of publishing a new collection of Carver's fiction under Lish's editorship at Knopf. In early May 1980, they met in New York City, where Carver gave Lish a manuscript of new and revised short stories. From Carver's perspective, the manuscript he gave Lish was substantially complete. Lish had previously edited several of the stories, and the bulk of them had been published in periodicals and/or small press books. Nonetheless, shortly after returning to Syracuse, Carver evidently received a query. In a letter dated May 10, 1980, he told Lish not to worry about taking a pencil to the stories if you can make them better. He added, "If you see ways to put more muscle in the stories, don't hesitate to do so." He valued his editor's skills so highly that he offered to pay the cost of retyping if the marked-up manuscript required it. While Carver finished the semester in Syracuse and prepared to travel to the Pacific Northwest for the summer, Lish edited the manuscript. As he later said, what struck him in Carver's writing was a peculiar bleakness. To foreground that bleakness, he cut the stories radically, reducing plot, character development, and figurative language to a minimum. Some stories were shortened by a third, several by more than half, and two by three-quarters of their original length. The overall reduction of the manuscript in word count was 55%. Lish worked quickly, cutting the stories to his pattern for the book. The project was on a fast track. 5 weeks after receiving the manuscript, he mailed a revised and retyped version to Syracuse. It arrived just as Carver and Gallagher were departing for Alaska. After failing to reach Lish by telephone, Carver mailed him a note on June 13, 1980, and promised to call later. "The collection looks terrific, though I haven't been able to read more than the title page, which title is fine, I think." He enclosed payment for the typist, gave a mailing address in Fairbanks, and left without examining the edited manuscript. While Carver and Gallagher participated in the Midnight Sun Writers' Conference, Lish edited the collection a second time. Once again, he had the manuscript retyped. At the end of June, while Gallagher remained in Port Angeles, Carver briefly returned to Syracuse. There, he awaited the second edited version of the manuscript, apparently without having read the first revision. On July 4, 1980, he wrote Lish that the revised collection had not yet arrived. Time was short since he was scheduled to fly back to Washington State in 10 days. To cover the second round of typing costs, he enclosed a blank check. On July 7, he received what Lish presented as the finished text of the book, When he read the edited manuscript, he was shocked by the extensive changes he found. A Small Good Thing, a 37-page story, had been cut to 12 pages and renamed The Bath. A 26-page story, If It Please You, had been cut to 14 pages and renamed Community Center. Lish later changed the title to After the Denim. A 15-page story, Where Is Everyone?, had been shortened to 5 pages and renamed Mr. Coffee and Mr. Fix-It. Beginners, a 33-page story, had been cut to 19 pages and renamed What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. Even Mine, a 500-word story previously edited by Lish and published twice, had been further condensed and renamed Popular Mechanics. After a sleepless night, early on the morning of July 8, 1980, Carver wrote an anguished letter. July 8, 8 a.m. Dearest Gordon, I've got to pull out of this one. Please hear me. I've been up all night thinking on this, and nothing but this, so help me. I've looked at it from every side. I've compared both versions of the edited manuscripts. The first one is better, I truly believe, if some things are carried over from the second to the first, until my eyes are nearly to fall out of my head. You are a wonder, a genius, and there's no doubt of that, better than any two of Max Perkins, etc., etc., and I'm not unmindful of the fact of my immense debt to you, a debt I can simply never, never repay. This whole new life I have, so many of the friends I now have, this job up here, everything, I owe to you for Will You Please. You've given me some degree of immortality already. You've made so many of the stories in this collection better, far better than they were before. And maybe if I were alone by myself, and no one had ever seen these stories, maybe then, knowing that your versions are better than some of the ones I sent, maybe I could get into this and go with it. But Tess has seen all of these and gone over them closely. Donald Hall has seen many of the new ones and discussed them at length with me and offered his services in reviewing the collection. And Richard Ford, Toby Wolfe, Jeffrey Wolfe too, some of them. This new issue of Tri-Quarterly, out a few days ago, has a story by Toby W., one by Ford, Kittredge, McGuane, and Where Is Everyone, Mr. Fix-It. How can I explain to these fellows when I see them, as I will see them, what happened to the story in the meantime after its book publication? Maybe if the book were not to come out for 18 months or 2 years, it would be different. But right now everything is too new. Why, Tri-Quarterly has just taken another one, but that will not, cannot, come out until fall-winter 1981 to 1982. Gordon, the changes are brilliant, and for the better in most cases. I look at what we talk about, beginners, and I see what it is that you've done, what you've pulled out of it, and I'm awed and astonished, startled even, with your insights. But it's too close right now, that story. Now much of this has to do with my sobriety and with my newfound, and fragile, I see, mental health and well-being. I'll tell you the truth, my very sanity is on the line here. I don't want to sound melodramatic here, but I've come back from the grave here to start writing stories once more. As I think you may know, I'd given up entirely, thrown it in, and was looking forward to dying, that release. But I kept thinking, I'll wait until after the election to kill myself, or wait until after this or that happened, usually something down the road a ways, but it was never far from my mind in those dark days, not all that long ago. Now I'm incomparably better. I have my health back, money in the bank, the right woman for this time of my life, a decent job, blah, blah. But I haven't written a word since I gave you the collection, waiting for your reaction. That reaction means so much to me. Now I'm afraid, mortally afraid, I feel it, that if the book were to be published, as it is in its present edited form, I may never write another story. That's how closely, God forbid, some of those stories are to my sense of regaining my health and mental well-being. As I say, maybe if I had 18 months or 2 years, some distance from these pieces and a good deal more writing under my belt, I could and would go with it. Likely so. But I can't now. I just can't. I don't know what else to say. Please help me with this, Gordon. I feel as if this is the most important decision I've ever been faced with, no shit. I ask for your understanding. Next to my wife, and now Tess, you have been and are the most important individual in my life, and that's the truth. I don't want to lose your love or regard over this. Oh, God, no. It would be like having a part of myself die, a spiritual part. Jesus, I'm jabbering now. But if this causes you undue complication and grief, and you perhaps understandably become pissed and discouraged with me, well, I'm the poorer for it, and my life will not be the same again. True. On the other hand, if the book comes out, and I can't feel the kind of pride and pleasure in it that I want, if I feel I've somehow too far stepped out of bounds, crossed that line a little too far, why then I can't feel good about myself, or maybe even write again. Right now I feel it's that serious, and if I can't feel absolutely good about it, I feel I'd be done for. I do. Lord God, I just don't know what else to say. I'm awash with confusion and paranoia. Fatigue too, that too. Please, Gordon, for God's sake, help me in this and try to understand. Listen, I'll say it again. If I have any standing or reputation or credibility in the world, I owe it to you. I owe you this more or less pretty interesting life I have. But if I go ahead with this as it is, it will not be good for me. The book will not be, as it should, a cause for joyous celebration, but one of defense and explanation. All this is complicatedly, and maybe not so complicatedly, tied up with my feelings of worth and self-esteem since I quit drinking. I just can't do it. I can't take the risk as to what might happen to me. I know that the discomfort of this decision of mine is at its highest now. It's rampant. I feel nearly wild with it. But I know it will cause you grief as well. Explanations, more work, stopping everything in its tracks and coming up with valid reasons for why. But eventually, my discomfort and yours will go away. There will be a grieving. I'm grieving right now. But it will go away. But if I don't speak now, and speak from the heart, and halt things now, I foresee a terrible time ahead for me. The demons I have to deal with every day or night, nearly, might, I'm afraid, simply rise up and take me over. Of course, I know I shouldn't have signed the contract without first reading the collection and making my fears, if any, known to you beforehand, before signing. So what should we do now, please advise? Can you lay it all on me and get out of the contract some way? Can you put the book off until winter or spring of 1982 and let them know I want to have the stories in the collection published in magazines first? And that's the truth. Several of them are committed to places with publication way off next year. Tell them I want the magazine publications first, and then the book out when I'm up for tenure here that spring of 1982. And then decide next year what for sure to do. Or else, can or should everything just be stopped now? I send back the Knopf check, if it's on the way, or else you stop it there. And meanwhile, I pay you for the hours, days and nights I'm sure you've spent on this. God damn it, I'm just nearly crazy with this. I'm getting into a state over it. No, I don't think it should be put off. I think it had best be stopped. I thought the editing, especially in the first version, was brilliant, as I said. The stories I can't let go of in their entirety are these. Community Center, if it please you. And The Bath, a small good thing. And I'd want some more of the old couple, Anna and Henry Gates, in What We Talk About When We Talk About Love, Beginners. I would not want Mr. Fixit, Where Is Everyone, in the book in its present state. The story, Distance, should not have its title changed to Everything Stuck to Him, nor the little piece, Mine, to Popular Mechanics. Dummy should keep its title. A Serious Talk is fine for pie. I think Want to See Something is fine is better than I Could See the Smallest Things. Otherwise, with the exception of little things here and there, incorporating some of the changes from version number 2 into version number 1, I could live with and be happy with. That little business at the end of Pie, A Serious Talk, him leaving the house with the ashtray, that's just inspired and wonderful. There are so many places like that the manuscript is stronger and clearer and more wonderful, but I could not have Mr. Fixit published the way it is in the present collection. Either the whole story, the one that's in Triquarterly now, or at least the better part of it, or else not at all. I'm just much too close to all of this right now. It's even hard for me to think right now. I think, in all, maybe it's just too soon for me for another collection. I know that next spring is too soon in any case. Absolutely too soon. I think I had best pull out, Gordon, before it goes any further. I realize I stand every chance of losing your love and friendship over this, but I strongly feel I stand every chance of losing my soul and my mental health over it if I don't take that risk. I'm still in the process of recovery and trying to get well from the alcoholism, and I just can't take any chances, something as momentous and permanent as this. That would put my head in some jeopardy. That's it, it's in my head. You have made so many of these stories better, my God, with the lighter editing and trimming. But those others, those three, I guess, I'm liable to croak if they came out that way. Even though they may be closer to works of art than the originals and people be reading them 50 years from now, they're still apt to cause my demise. I'm serious, they're so intimately hooked up with my getting well, recovering, gaining back some little self-esteem and feeling of worth as a writer and a human being. I know you must feel angry and betrayed and pissed off. God's sake, I'm sorry. I can pay you for the time you've put in on this, but I can't begin to help or do anything about the trouble and grief I may be causing there in the editorial and business offices that you'll have to go through. Forgive me for this, please. But I'm just going to have to wait a while yet for another book. 18 months, 2 years, it's okay now, as long as I'm writing and have some sense of worth in the process. Your friendship and your concern and general championing of me have meant, and mean still, more to me than I can ever say. I could never begin to repay you, as you must know. I honor and respect you, and I love you more than my brother. But you will have to get me off the hook here, Gordon, it's true. I just can't go another step forward with this endeavor. So please advise what to do now. I'm going out of town tomorrow, but I will be back Saturday. Monday morning I'm leaving for the West Coast, Bellingham and Port Townsend, as I think I mentioned, and I'll hook up with Tess out there and return here on the 30th of July. My address here is 832 Maryland Avenue, Syracuse, New York, 13210. As I say, I'm confused, tired, paranoid, and afraid, yes, of the consequences for me if the collection came out in its present form. So help me, please, yet again. Don't, please, make this too hard for me, for I'm just likely to start coming unraveled knowing how I've displeased and disappointed you. God Almighty, Gordon. Ray. Signed. Please do the necessary things to stop production of the book. Please try and forgive me this breach. Not long afterward, Carver spoke to Lish by telephone. No record of their conversation is preserved, but Lish's point of view prevailed. The contract remained in force, and the production of the book proceeded at full speed. By this time, the mechanisms of publication were out of Carver's hands. He may not have realized this, because he spent July 10, 1980, belatedly comparing the first and second edited versions of the book. That evening he wrote Lish a letter filled with equivocations. On the one hand, he was thrilled at the prospect of a book with Knopf and deeply grateful to his editor. "It's a beauty for sure," he began. "It is, and I'm honored and grateful for your attentions to it." On the other hand, he had nagging doubts about the cuts made to the stories. He proposed specific changes to the edited text, small enough, but significant. These were largely restorations of material Lish had deleted during the second editing. "I have serious questions or reservations," Carver wrote, "or I wouldn't have marked the things I did." His fear was that the pared-down stories would make his writing seem disjointed. "I'm mortally afraid of taking out too much from the stories, of making them too thin, not enough connecting tissue to them." Rather than attempt to salvage "Where is Everyone?", which had been cut by more than three quarters and renamed Mr. Coffee and Mr. Fix-It, Carver requested that it be dropped from the collection. The original story was in press at Tri-Quarterly, and he understood that the editor was submitting it for a possible O. Henry Award. Moreover, as a story about an alcoholic just beginning to face his problems, Where Is Everyone marked a turning point in his own recovery. "I have a lot of rampant and complicated feelings about that story," he explained. "No matter if it is never included in a book in any form whatsoever." He finished the letter the next morning, restating that he was thrilled with this book and that you're bringing it out with Knopf. Eager to rejoin Gallagher in Port Angeles, he focused on endorsements and publicity. To build anticipation for the new book, the previously unpublished stories would need to be rushed into magazines. By the end of the letter, Carver had slipped back into the deferential posture he had assumed toward Lish during his drinking years. "I once told you I thought I could die happy after having a story in Esquire," he wrote. "Now a book out with Knopf, and such a book. There'll be more, you'll see. I'm drawing a long second wind." He closed with "my love," and promised he would write again, sometime or another, in the future. By the eve of Carver's departure from Syracuse, the night of July 14, 1980, he had left the form of the book to his editor's discretion. "I know you have my best interests at heart," he said in a letter, "and you'll do everything and more to further those interests." Not wanting to be a pest of an author, he asked only that Lish please look at the restorations he had proposed. "If you think I'm being my own worst enemy, you know, well then, stick to the final version of the second edited version." The resistance he had voiced a week earlier had collapsed, as had his self-confidence. "Maybe I am wrong in this. Maybe you are 100% correct. Just please give them another hard look, that's all." His only firm directive was that Mr. Coffee and Mr. Fixit should not be included in the book. How did Lish respond to Carver's unease about the editing of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love? In August 1998, he told the New York Times Magazine, "My sense of it was that there was a letter and that I just went ahead." In due course, he sent Carver proofs of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. "I still haven't done anything but glance at the galleys you sent up," Carver wrote on October 6, 1980. "Took the wind out of my sails some when you said to send them back to you so soon without reading them even." Had he read them, he would have found that the stories conformed to Lish's second edited version, to which a few more cuts had been made. Virtually none of the changes Carver proposed were incorporated, and the book included Mr. Coffee and Mr. Fixit. On February 15, 1980, Carver had written Lish to say he had on hand three groups of stories. One group had previously appeared in little magazines or small press books, but had never been published in a trade press book. A second group either had appeared or would soon appear in periodicals. A third group consisted of newly written stories still in typescript. The beginner's manuscript, as presented in this volume, comprises these three groups of stories. In preparing the stories for submission to Knopf, Carver revised a number of them that had appeared in books or magazines. These authorial revisions, including handwritten corrections, are reflected in the text. Obvious word omissions, misspellings, and inconsistencies in punctuation in the manuscript have been silently corrected. What follows is a publication history of each story in the beginner's manuscript, including an account of its editing by Lish and its subsequent appearances, if any, in books by Carver. Abbreviations. Beginners. Beginners, untitled manuscript preserved among the Gordon Lish papers in the Lilly Library of Indiana University as Raymond Carver, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love, Manuscript, First Draft. Net editorial reduction of word count of each story in the manuscript is expressed as a percentage. Cathedral. Cathedral, First Edition, New York, Alfred A. Knopf, 1983. Fires. Fires, Essays, Poems, Stories, First Edition, Santa Barbara, Capra Press, 1983. F.S. Furious Seasons and Other Stories, Santa Barbara, Capra Press, 1977. The papers of Capra Press are housed at the Lilly Library. W.I.C.F. Where I'm Calling From, New and Selected Stories, First Edition, New York, Atlantic Monthly Press, 1988. WWTA, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love, First Edition, New York, Alfred A. Knopf, 1981. Why Don't You Dance? Beginners, 8-page manuscript, cut by 9% for inclusion in WWTA as Why Don't You Dance? Previous publication, Why Don't You Dance, Quarterly West, Autumn 1978, The Paris Review, Spring 1981. The version in the Paris Review was the product of Lish's first editing of Beginners. In 1977, Carver had submitted a story entitled, Why Don't You Dance, to Esquire. Lish had edited it and changed the title to, I Am Going to Sit Down, but no version ever appeared in Esquire. As published in Quarterly West, the story included many but not all of Lish's suggested changes and is nearly identical to the text in Beginners. Subsequent publication, Why Don't You Dance, was collected in WICF as it appeared in WWTA. Viewfinder. Beginners. 6-page manuscript, cut by 30% for inclusion in WWTA as Viewfinder. Previous publication, as Viewfinder. Iowa Review, Winter 1978, and Quarterly West, Spring-Summer 1978. These two versions, which are virtually identical, included many of Lish's suggested changes to The Mill, an earlier story by Carver that remains unpublished. The title, The Mill, was based on the handless man's observation, You're going through the mill now. Lish deleted that sentence and renamed the story Viewfinder, based on a word that occurs twice in the original text. Efforts to publish Viewfinder in Esquire came to a halt when Lish ceased to be fiction editor in September 1977. The text in Quarterly West is identical to the text in Beginners. Subsequent publication, none. Where is Everyone? Beginners, 15-page manuscript, cut by 78% for inclusion in WWTA as Mr. Coffee and Mr. Fix-It. Previous publication, Where is Everyone? Tri-Quarterly, Spring 1980. The text in Tri-Quarterly is identical to the text in Beginners, except for differences in punctuation. Note on WWTA. In Lish's first editing of the story, he changed the daughter's name from Kate to Melody, changed the wife's name from Cynthia to Myrna, and eliminated all references to the son, Mike. He renamed the story Mr. Fix-It, but later changed that to Mr. Coffee and Mr. Fix-It. Subsequent publication, as Where Is Everyone? In Fires. The text in Fires is identical to the text in Tri-Quarterly, except for light editing by Carver, including his deletion of the line, I don't know where everyone is at home. As a result, the line appears only in Tri-Quarterly and Beginners. Gazebo. Beginners. 13-page manuscript, cut by 44% for inclusion in WWTA as Gazebo. Previous publication. A version of Gazebo that was the product of Lish's first editing of Beginners appeared in Missouri Review, Fall 1980. Subsequent publication. Gazebo was collected in WICF in a version nearly identical to that in WWTA. Want to see something? Beginners, 11-page manuscript cut by 56% for inclusion in WWTA as I Could See the Smallest Things. Previous publication, a version of Want to See Something that was the product of Lish's first editing of Beginners appeared in Missouri Review, Fall 1980. In the first editing, Lish deleted most of the story's original ending. In the second editing, he changed the title to I Could See the Smallest Things. Subsequent publication, none. The Fling. Beginners. 21-page manuscript, cut by 61% for inclusion in WWTA as Sax. Previous publication, The Fling. Perspective, A Quarterly of Modern Literature, Winter 1974. Collected in FS. The texts in Perspective and FS are nearly identical to the text in Beginners. Subsequent publication, none. A Small Good Thing. Beginners. 37-page manuscript cut by 78% for inclusion in WWTA as The Bath. Previous publication. A version of The Bath that was the product of Lish's first editing of Beginners appeared in Columbia, a magazine of poetry and prose, Spring-Summer 1981. Subsequent publication, as A Small Good Thing in Plowshares 1982. The version in Plowshares followed the Beginner's manuscript, except for minor changes in diction and phrasing, and the deletion of a 4-page flashback section. None of Lish's changes in The Bath were incorporated into the Plowshares text, except for a few rephrasings in the opening paragraphs. Carver collected A Small Good Thing in Cathedral, in the process lightly editing the version in Plowshares and incorporating into it several revisions suggested to him by Tess Gallagher. A Small Good Thing was collected in WICF as it appeared in Cathedral. Tell the Women We're Going. Beginners. 19-page manuscript, cut by 55% for inclusion in WWTA as Tell the Women We're Going. Previous publication, as Friendship, Sou'wester Literary Quarterly, summer 1971. In 1969, Carver had submitted Friendship to Lish for consideration at Esquire, but the story was not accepted. He later submitted it to Noel Young, publisher of Capra Press, for inclusion in FS, but Young deemed it too gruesome for my quavering senses and excluded it. Capra Press Manuscripts, Letter of April 24, 1977. The text of Tell the Women We're Going in Beginners is very similar to the text of Friendship in Sou'wester. In revising the story, Carver changed the title, altered a few words, and expanded the final paragraph. Subsequent publication, none. If It Please You, Beginners. 26-page manuscript, cut by 63% for inclusion in WWTA as After the Denim. Previous publication, If It Please You, New England Review, Spring 1981. The text in New England Review is nearly identical to the text in Beginners. Note on WWTA. In Lish's first editing, he changed the title to Community Center and canceled the last 6 pages. He later renamed the story After the Denim. Subsequent publication, If It Please You, was published in a signed limited edition of 226 copies by Lord John Press of Northridge, California in 1984. The text in the limited edition agrees with the text in New England Review, except for a few changes in phrasing. Carver revised the final sentence of the story several times. If it please you, he said in the new prayers for all of them, the living and the dead. Then he slept. Beginners, second sentence hand-canceled by Carver. If it please you, he said in the new prayers for all of them, the living and the dead. New England Review. If it please you, he said in the new prayers for all of them. Lord John Press Limited Edition. So Much Water So Close to Home. Beginners, 27-page manuscript, cut by 70% for inclusion in WWTA as So Much Water So Close to Home. Previous publication, So Much Water So Close to Home, Spectrum, 1975, collected in FS. The texts in Spectrum and FS are identical. An abridged version of the story was published in Playgirl, February 1976. The Playgirl editor made extensive cuts and added two final sentences that appear nowhere else. I begin to scream, it doesn't matter any longer. The texts in Spectrum and FS are identical to the text in Beginners, except for differences in punctuation. Subsequent publication, So Much Water So Close to Home was included in Fires in a text nearly identical to that in FS. The version in Fires was collected in WICF. Dummy. Beginners. 24-page manuscript, cut by 40% for inclusion in WWTA as The Third Thing That Killed My Father Off. Previous publication, Dummy. Discourse, a review of the liberal arts, summer 1967. Collected in FS. The source of the text in FS was an off-print from Discourse, on which Carver had made incidental corrections. The text in FS is virtually identical to the text in Beginners. Note on WWTA. In Lish's second editing, he changed the title from Dummy to The First Thing That Killed My Father Off, after adding and then canceling the title Friendship. He later changed the title to The Third Thing That Killed My Father Off. Subsequent publication, The Third Thing That Killed My Father Off was collected in WICF in a version nearly identical to that in WWTA. Pie. Beginners. 11-page manuscript, cut by 29% for inclusion in WWTA as A Serious Talk. Previous publication. A version of A Serious Talk that was the product of Lish's first and partial second editing of Pi appeared in Missouri Review, fall 1980. In December 1980, a version of Pi that was nearly identical to the version in Beginners, was published in Playgirl. The story takes place at Christmas time, and the magazine had held it for the holiday issue. Subsequent publication, A Serious Talk was collected in WICF as it appeared in WWTA. The Calm. Beginners. 9-page manuscript cut by 25% for inclusion in WWTA as The Calm. Previous publication, The Calm, Iowa Review, Summer 1979. The text in Iowa Review is identical to the text in Beginners. Note on WWTA. In editing the last sentence of The Calm, Lish changed Carver's description of the barber's touch from sadness to tenderness and later to sweetness. Subsequent publication. The Calm was collected in WICF in a version nearly identical to that in WWTA. Mine. Beginners. Mine is the only story for which no typescript is preserved in the manuscript of Beginners. The story is included in the second revised manuscript of WWTA, which corresponds to Lish's second editing of the book. The 3-page typescript of Mine was cut by only 1%. Previous publication. Mine made its first appearance in FS. An identical version was published under the title Little Things in Fiction, 1978. In June 1978, Mine was reprinted unchanged from FS in Playgirl. In April 1977, Carver had sent a 3-page mini-story titled A Separate Debate to Noel Young of Capra Press, together with the signed contract for FS. Carver simultaneously submitted the story to Lish, who edited it for possible publication in Esquire. Lish cut A Separate Debate by 7% and asked Carver to change the title. Carver renamed the story Little Things, then Mine, but it never appeared in Esquire. The text published as Mine in FS incorporated many but not all of Lish's editorial suggestions and is virtually identical to the text in Beginners. Note on WWTA. Lish changed the title from Mine to Popular Mechanics in his second editing of the Beginners manuscript. Subsequent publication. The text of the story was collected in WICF as it appeared in WWTA, but Carver changed the title from Popular Mechanics to Little Things. Distance. Beginners. 13-page manuscript cut by 45% for inclusion in WWTA as Everything Stuck to Him. Previous publication. Distance. Sheraton Review, Fall 1975. Collected in FS. The source of the text in FS was a photocopy of pages from Sheraton Review, on which Carver had made incidental corrections. Distance was reprinted from FS in Playgirl, March 1978. The text in FS is identical to the text in Beginners. Subsequent publication. Distance, as collected in Fires, is for the most part a restoration of the text in FS. In addition, the text in Fires incorporates a few of Lish's revisions of the story in WWTA and several changes suggested in Marginalia by Tess Gallagher. The version in Fires was collected in WICF. Beginners. Beginners. 33-page manuscript cut by 50% for inclusion in WWTA as What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. Previous publication. A version of What We Talk About When We Talk About Love that was the product of Lish's second editing of Beginners and his corrections to the printer's manuscript of WWTA appeared in Antaeus, Winter-Spring 1981. Note on WWTA. The Beginners manuscript of Beginners bears corrections in Carver's hand, including his cancellation of the two final sentences. Then it would get better. I knew if I closed my eyes, I could get lost. In Lish's first editing of the story, he cut the last 5 pages. In his second editing, he changed the title from Beginners to What We Talk About When We Talk About Love and deleted the names of the old couple, Anna and Henry Gates, Subsequent publication. What We Talk About When We Talk About Love was collected in WICF as it appeared in WWTA. Beginners was published in The New Yorker of December 24-31, 2007, as it appeared in the Beginner's Manuscript. One more thing. Beginners. 7-page manuscript cut by 37% for inclusion in WWTA as One More Thing. Previous publication. One More Thing. North American Review, March 1981. The text in North American Review is nearly identical to the text in Beginners. Note on WWTA. In the course of editing the story, Lish changed the name of the daughter from B to Rayette, and later, at Carver's suggestion, to Ray. Subsequent publication, One More Thing, was collected in WICF as it appeared in WWTA. For texts taken from printed sources, this volume does not attempt to reproduce features of typographic design such as display capitalization. The texts are printed without change except for the correction of obvious typographical errors. Spelling, punctuation, and capitalization are often expressive features, and they are not altered, even when inconsistent or irregular. For texts taken from the manuscript of Beginners, the treatment of the text is described above. The following errors have been corrected. 15.10. Out. 41.4. End tightened. 63.3. Sure. 96.23. Huh? 97.6. Promise? 107.11. One his. 108.34. Mr. 111.20. A. 113.31. Consider. 136.31. Bed. 164.3. Little.